Pope Leo has said he's deeply saddened by a military strike on the only Catholic church in Gaza, in which two people were killed and several others, including the parish priest, were injured. The Israeli Defence Forces said they were looking into the reports and repeated that they make every feasible effort to mitigate harm to civilians. Over the past 18 months, the Holy Family Church in Gaza City has sheltered scores of people. The late Pope Francis rang every night to check on the welfare of people there. We've spoken several times on the programme to Father Carlos Ferrero, who's also based in the church. And in May, he told me about living with the constant threat of bombs. Is there bombing in your area?
Yes, a lot. Every night and day. Before it was like nighttime, like 2 in the morning, they were beginning. But lately, anytime, anyhow, you can feel from left, right, or front or back. Actually, today, there was an order of evacuation from 2 or 3 blocks or neighborhoods very close to us. And they were sent to another place. I don't know, because also Their reactions from here, no, from in between, that is really very irresponsible. For nobody cares about what the people are suffering. It's a pity. I'm sorry to say like this, but
is that how you feel now, that people don't care?
Yes. Not the people. I'm saying the one responsible who are provoking or fighting. They don't look very much about the sufferings of the common society here.
That was Father Carlos Ferrero speaking to us from Gaza City 2 months ago. Now, we did manage to make contact with him earlier, and you'll be glad to know that he's unharmed. For more, we can talk to Belle True, Chief International Correspondent with The Independent. Belle, the Pope's statement pointedly didn't mention Israel, referring to this simply as a military attack. But as we heard there, that particular part of Gaza City has been bombed by Israel on many occasions.
Yes, I mean, this is a heavily bombed, heavily destroyed area. There are two main churches in Gaza City, and they are sheltering people who've been trying to escape that unprecedented bombardment. There are elderly people, children, family members who are inside this compound that I've actually visited on a number of occasions. And I was actually speaking just now, before I came on the phone to you, to a young man whose parents are there and who is related to the two people who were killed. And he said that they are absolutely terrified that this is the beginning of further strikes, as they're effectively in a red zone. So that means an area where there are evacuation orders by the Israeli military.
What has become of the ceasefire talks, which were to the forefront of everybody's conversation a week or so ago, but they seem to have run into the ground?
There was some hope that there had been a bit of a breakthrough, simply because we'd had months and months since the last ceasefire collapse in March of absolutely no movement at all, with the chief obstacle being the fact that Israel said that it would continue basically its military operations until Hamas is defeated, and it would only negotiate a temporary truce, with Hamas saying it wouldn't agree to anything unless there were serious discussions to end the war. There did appear to be some movement, with pressure coming from US President Donald Trump towards his initial 60-day plan, which would include US guarantees for discussions about ending the war that they hoped might alleviate the concerns from Hamas. But, you know, I've been talking to people who've, you know, been briefed on the negotiations that have been taking place. They said that Hamas is concerned that those guarantees are not strong enough, and it's unclear exactly what Israel's intentions are. But when Netanyahu was in DC, you know, his parting comment was effectively pointing to the fact that, you know, he didn't want the ceasefire to be a permanent one. So at the moment, we are still waiting for any positive news, but it doesn't look immediately hopeful.
A week ago, the EU said it had reached agreement with Israel on increasing aid supplies. Has there been much change on the ground?
In actuality, no. At least talking to the civilians that I talk to every day, there is still a desperate need for an immense amount of aid to get through. And it's very, very dangerous to get hold of aid. So we've obviously seen that hundreds of civilians have been killed as they've gone to these very controversial distribution sites run by a US backed initiative called the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. That is still ongoing. There have been some trucks that have been able to get in, but we're talking about 2.3 million people, the vast majority that are on the cusp of famine. That's according to global hunger monitors. We're talking about, you know, the fact that, you know, medical supplies are not getting in, fuel has not been getting in, and that is causing major problems in terms of sanitation, in terms of generators, in terms of hospitals. It's beyond just, you know, a small uptick in aid. There needs to be, according to the experts I'm speaking to, an immediate ceasefire and the unfettered access of aid, because the situation is beyond feasible, not even beyond solvable, beyond feasible at the moment. And the only way that you can deal with this many people and this much catastrophe is for a full ceasefire and for there to be, you know, clear, you know, links for aid to be able to get around the Gaza Strip.
Beltrú of The Independent, thank you for being with us this afternoon.